Hi, it's me, Tiwa Ogunlesi. I'm a life coach, founder of Confident and Killing It, and you're listening to the Confident and Killing It podcast. This show is about waking you up to your worth so you can be confident, unstoppable, and dare to live the life that you truly desire. No more fear and insecurities getting in the way. It's time to master your mind, believe in yourself, and show up in the world. Let's get into it. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Confident and Killing It podcast. Yes, it is me, your host, Tiwa Ogunlesi, and I am back in business. It's been about 9 months since the last podcast episode. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been listening. Thank you for your patience, for sticking with me. As you know, your girl is now a published author. Yes. So if you haven't bought my book, Confident and Killing It, I hope you have. But make sure you check that out. So I just had to take a quick break. Semi quick/long break from the podcast because I just couldn't manage the two things at the same time. So took a break from the podcast and now I'm back. This is not a drill. This is real. You are listening to me here on the Confident and Killing It podcast. So much has happened since the last episode in 2021. So I thought, you know what? I want to kick this new season off with like a life update on my journey so far. So some of you are OG listeners and you know about me and how I started the podcast in the pandemic and when I quit my job and all of those things. But I think it's important to go back down memory lane and actually just share the story about how I signed a 2-book deal and I am now a published author. I'm sure so many people want to know how it happened. And it is actually such a crazy, inspiring journey. So I think starting off this new season, let's just get into that. So I'm going to be sharing my story about how I signed a 2-book deal and published a book, got published. And in my story, I'm going to be sharing 10 life lessons, okay? 10 growth tips, life lessons throughout my story that you can also use from my journey and implement in your life. And you know, whenever I share my story, whenever I share my successes, I always share it in a very practical way that you can also take and implement some of these life lessons into your life as well. For anyone who doesn't know, my book, Confident and Killing It, is a practical guide to overcoming fear and unlocking your most empowered self. It is literally a book that is going to wake you up to your worth so you can feel confident, unstoppable, and take action on your dreams. It is packed with inspirational stories, practical tips, ways to reframe things and change your mindset, and exercises to keep you on track because confidence is a practice, okay? So how did all of this happen? It starts in December of 2019, okay? So I had been running Confident and Killing It as a side hustle, and it was coming to the end of the year, and I just felt this pull in me to quit my full-time job to run Confident and Killing It full-time. And the first life lesson with this is you have to be willing to bet on yourself. Confidence is an in-depth belief in yourself and your abilities, that you have what it takes to make your dreams a reality. And I didn't have any jobs lined up. I didn't have a business plan. All I literally had was a vision and a deep sense of self-belief that I knew if I jumped off this cliff and I bet on myself that there was no way I was gonna fail. Just that by the mere fact that I'm taking this risk to bet on myself, I already knew that I am successful. I am going to be successful. So that was it. And then no business plan, no work lined up, just that self-belief and that willingness to bet on yourself. And looking where I am today, you can never lose when you bet on yourself, literally. Betting on yourself is the most exciting thing in the world. And you never know where your life is going to take you. But you have to believe that you have what it takes to build an incredible life. So I quit my job. I go home for Christmas, back to Nigeria. I have fun, you know, and I'm like, okay, 3 months worth of savings. I give myself 3 months to build a sustainable business, get things off the ground. And so I come back in January, I'm feeling refreshed, I'm feeling energized. It's 2020, it feels like it's gonna be such an amazing year. And it starts off really good. You know, I'm getting opportunities. I created my business plan. I'm getting speaking opportunities, work is coming in. And then March 2020 happens. Boom, pandemic, boom, lockdown. Every single thing gets canceled. Every business I had lined up, out the window. Cancellation emails coming in left, right, and center. And every single one of them hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was down bad because I had such high expectations for 2020. And you know what? I think we all did. It sounded like it was gonna be like the best year of our lives. Like 2020, let's go. And I was like, 2020 is going to be my year. Everyone watch out for me. Tiwa coming through. Boy, did 2020 have her own plans. So, you know, there I was. Cancellation emails left, right, and center. My whole business plan that was like in-person events this, in-person events that. Out the window completely because no one could do anything. And I cried. I was down bad. Like, I felt demoralized. I just like, this is the end. I cannot believe this. And my negative thoughts, the mean girl in my mind, was playing this image of like a graph that would go up in January, up in February, up in March, and then as we're kind of like in the middle of March, it just comes crashing down to -0, -100, and then that's the end. And that was the image, that was the story that was playing over and over and over again in my head. This is the end. This is the end. There's no bouncing back from this. So how many times have you been in that kind of situation where you're thinking, this is the end. I failed so badly. I didn't get the dream job that I wanted. They just canceled my opportunity. This is the end. This is the end. This is the end. You know, we've all kind of been there. The second life lesson from this is that life doesn't always go according to plan, okay? I used to think if I did everything well, you know, things will go according to plan. If I'm a nice person and I do everything the way I want it, everything will go my way. That is not true. You can be the most disciplined, nicest, loving person in the world and bad things will still happen to you, okay? So it's so important that we learn not to internalize bad things happening to us, okay? It is not a reflection of your worth. It happens to you, it is not who you are. So we've got to remember that life is not always going to go according to plan, and we have to be ready for that and not see it as defeat, but just as a detour or a challenge that we now have to overcome. Also, it's not about if you get hit or not. It's about when you do get hit. We all get hit from time to time. So don't let that surprise you, okay? It's not about if you get hit or not. It's about when you get hit. How are you going to respond? And so that brings me on to part three of the story. So I was in my tears. I was in the sadness. And then I asked myself, I said, Tiwa, is this the story you want for yourself? That you quit your job, lockdown happened, and that was the end. And I was like, no, that is not the story I want for myself. So then I said, okay, so what is the story you want? Because right now you're rehearsing the story you don't want, and it's making you feel miserable. So what is the story you actually want? And that's the next life lesson. The story you tell yourself is so important. If you are telling yourself a story that is making you feel miserable and putting you down, that is not going to help you move forward in life. So you have to carve out time to actually articulate, what is the story you want for your life? Do you actually know what that looks like? Have you written it down? Have you visualized it? Because that is what is going to help you move forward. So in my book, in chapter 2, I have something called the 3A process, and that is how you manage your emotions and you kind of like navigate yourself out of a bad mood or being in a rut, okay? So the first A is to acknowledge how you feel, all right? And it's okay to be like, I'm not feeling so great today. I'm not feeling good in this season in my life. This season in my life is chaotic. Acknowledge how you feel, because you cannot manage what you do not first acknowledge. Okay. So step one is to acknowledge how you feel. Step two is to articulate what is going on for you. Okay. So you do this by journaling, and I'm going to expand on the three A's in some upcoming episodes. Okay. So I was like, okay, what's going on with me? I feel demoralized. I feel down. Like, how can all these people cancel on me? This was meant to be my year. Like, I let it all out. Like, I articulated how I felt and I released it. And then the third step is to allow yourself to move forward. So after I was like, okay, they've canceled my opportunities, we're in lockdown, what are you going to do about it? And that was the next step. Okay, how can you move past this? And so that brings me on to the fourth life lesson, which is you've got to use what's available to you. When people don't give you opportunities, give yourself opportunities. Okay, when people don't want to bet on you, bet on yourself. So my next step was like, okay, people don't want to give me opportunities. What do I have in my hands? I have online. I have my phone. I have my online community on social media. Let's do something. So I started running online webinars called Killing It as an Entrepreneur. Okay. I had just become an entrepreneur. I wasn't killing it. In fact, I had no business, no clients, nothing. But I knew that if I was navigating this space, there were so many other women who were probably freaking out too. And it turns out that there were. So I started running webinars every week on Zoom, inviting trailblazing female entrepreneurs to come onto my platform, and I would interview them and I would invite people to come and watch. And we tackled everything from marketing to personal brand to well-being, mental health to finances. So shout out to anyone who joined my pandemic lockdown webinars. If you're still here today, shout out to you. But if you missed it, yeah, this was like back in 2020 survival. So I just started running all of these webinars. So that's the lesson there. When people don't give you an opportunity, you've got to create your own. And as I did so, it put me and my business on the map. People would share my content. They would share about the webinar. They were learning so much and they would talk about it. And that is how I began to build a reputation. And as I did that, I was showing up consistently. And as I was showing up consistently, bringing people together, sharing valuable content that was actually helpful, opportunities started coming in. Because not only was I sharing the content, but other people who joined the webinar, about 500 people, imagine 500 people joining your webinar every week, sharing that to their communities. And then all the women who had large followings who were on my panels, they also shared it as well. So before you know it, I'm being ingrained in people's mindset as Tiwa, somebody who is a confidence coach and who delivers impactful and meaningful experiences. That's the personal brand I was intentional about building and showing my portfolio as somebody who can create these sorts of experiences. So my fifth life lesson from all of this is you need to know what you want to be known for. Okay. If you are looking to sign a book deal one day, you need to be somebody who's an expert in your field, who has a community, who talks about a certain, you need to be known for something essentially. So if you feel like you don't have a personal brand or you're not really known for something, work backwards. Think about what do you want people to know you for? And then think of what action do I need to take to align to this, to position myself in this way so that people begin to see me as this person. The woman I am today is built. Okay, I wasn't born like this. So the people, the publishers discovered me through my personal brand, right? Through building community, through people sharing my content. They discovered me online. Okay, so having an online profile is so important. And yes, we need to find the balance, of course, between our mental health and, you know, if you're more of a low-key and private person, that's okay. But don't hide under the guise of being humble and not promote yourself and speak for your work, because opportunities come when you speak for your work. okay? And I have so many resources on building a personal brand. And I have a whole chapter in the book on embracing your main character energy and being comfortable with celebrating your accomplishments and what you're capable of doing. After running, you know, webinars and starting my coaching business all summer, in about August, I get a call from somebody who previously canceled one of my workshops. And then they said to me that they have an opportunity with the Times and the Sunday Times to do an online webinar. And I was so excited by this. It was great. And I said yes, and we got it. Like, it was great. We did the workshop. It was fantastic. I did the workshop. And then after I ran that workshop with the Times and the Sunday Times, now obviously they are a very high profile brand, like one of the biggest media companies in the UK. My name, my picture was on their website. Confident and Killing It was on their website. After I ran that session, I think maybe 2 days later, I get this email in my inbox from someone at Penguin. Penguin, the biggest publisher in the world. I get this email from someone at Penguin going, "Hi Tiwa, have you ever thought of writing a book?" And right then and there, I burst into tears. It was such an emotional moment for me because I had literally worked so hard all throughout 2020, like staying up till 2 a.m. I was a solo entrepreneur. I didn't have a team. I was the one creating all my graphics, creating my own content, running my own workshops, doing all my coaching sessions, doing the admin for my coaching session, doing my invoices, everything I was doing myself. And to just get that email about a book, like, I just felt so seen that the seeds I had planted were not in vain. And that's my sixth life lesson in this whole story. What is meant for you will never miss you when you sow seeds consistently. And that is what I did. Because I sowed those seeds consistently, even though all my workshops got canceled, everything that was meant to be for me came back into my life. Started running workshops with Google, TikTok, Facebook, Deloitte, Morgan Stanley, the biggest companies in the world. From March 2020, when I had no business, nothing lined up, by September, I was working with some of the biggest brands. And now I'm getting this email about if I have ever thought about writing a book. Now, had I ever thought of writing a book? Yeah, absolutely. But like in my 40s, I didn't think I was qualified enough to write a book. I didn't think people rated me enough, in all honesty, when I got this back in 2020. Confident and Killing It was literally a side hustle. The biggest thing I had done to that point was a university tour, going around to speak to universities. I hadn't had any real corporate gigs or anything. So I was like, wait. How is the biggest publisher in the world finding me to come to me and ask me if I'm interested in writing a book? Like, I always thought I'd write a book in my 40s or something, you know, when I'm more established or more successful, have a larger following. And I think in 2020, maybe I had about maybe 7,000 followers at the time, or 6,000 followers at the time. So I didn't think, I didn't even know I was on anybody's radar. But that's the thing. When you show up consistently and you sow seeds, your name is being mentioned in rooms you don't even know about. So really and truly, it's not your job to worry, okay? It's your job to show up and show up consistently. So when you do that, opportunities will never miss you. So don't freak out about the opportunities. Don't worry about the opportunities. Focus on showing up and the opportunities will come. So after that first email, you know, was like, this is so crazy. I got on a call with her. She told me how much she loved my work. She's been listening to the podcast. She thinks I'm great. And she gave me like a pitch form to fill out, to be like, when you come up with an idea, fill out this doc and send your pitch to me. I had no idea what I was gonna write. I was just like, I'm so tired, I'm burnt out right now. I've been working so hard this year. I just put it to the back burner because I was like, a book right now, impossible. No chance. No way. And then 2 months later, I get a second email from someone at HarperCollins, the second largest publisher in the world. 2 months. This is all in the same year. 2 months later, I get an email saying, hey, have you ever thought of writing a book? I've seen your work. I think you're great. Let's hop on a call. So here I am on a call with someone from HarperCollins, and they're telling me they think I'll be great, that I have such an engaged community, da da da. And again, think about an idea, come back, send something to us. So my life lesson here is life is always calling you, right? I got the first email. I was like, psh, no way, not doing this anytime soon. Put it on the back burner. That second email came. And a third email, and a fourth email. I got 4 or 5 emails from different publishers going, have you ever thought of writing a book? You literally cannot make this stuff up. I was destined to do this. And this is how I know that. No matter what happens, I know this book is going to be around for generations and generations to come. Because it is so crazy that 4 to 5 different publishers messaged me going, have you ever thought of writing a book? That stuff, it just doesn't happen. Okay, so here I am. Life is calling me and I'm like, okay, by the second time, by the third time, I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Okay, universe, I'm going to write this book. I picked up the call. So when opportunities are coming to you and you're disqualifying yourself, right? You're busy saying, no, not me. I don't think I could ever do that. The imposter syndrome is kicking in. Life is going to come back and call you again. And your life is going to keep calling you. So you need to decide, are you going to pick up the call or are you going to keep ignoring it? It is yours to decide, okay? So I really hope that when your life calls you, when those opportunities come, you do not self-sabotage and instead you pick up that call. And if you do self-sabotage, I have loads of episodes on mastering your mindset, dealing with negative thoughts. In my book, I have a whole chapter on dealing with the mean girl in your mind. So please do not settle with self-sabotage. You deserve to pick up the phone when your life is calling you. So that was life lesson number 7. What happens next? So I've got the email from Penguin. I've gotten the email from HarperCollins. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to write this book. But I need time to just like rest and think. So I told both of them that I would get back to them in the new year. December of 2020 comes. Literally the last few days of December. I get a DM from a book agent. And he's like, have you ever thought of writing a book? I'm an agent. I can help you with the process and getting a deal. And I'm like, whoa, like this is just too much. This is too much. Like, and how did he find me? On Instagram. How did all the other publishers find me? On Instagram, right? Online, through my podcast. So you just never know who's looking. You never know who's looking. And that is why it is so important to be top of mind, okay? So life lesson number 8 is when you are in alignment with your purpose, there's an ease and a grace to it. You know, even though I never saw myself writing a book in my 20s, that was clearly destined for me. And so the way it came into my life, it came with such an ease and such a grace. Even though I had worked very hard, but I worked hard and I clearly unlocked that blessing that was always meant for me. So manifestation isn't just about thinking positive thoughts while you're lying on the sofa eating a bag of chips. You know, it's not that. It's about setting the intention, having a vision, putting in the work and then surrendering it, letting it go into the world. Okay, and then what's meant for you will come to you. So you've got to put in the work, you've got to have the vision, but then don't fuss about it. Like, I knew I was going to write a book, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm about to turn 30 and I've not written a book, like I'm a failure. No, it was just like, I just knew, you know, I'm going to write a book, but it'll be sometime in my life and I'll be grateful for whenever I get that opportunity. And I think that's how manifestation really should work. If you start freaking out about, oh, I haven't done this by this or this by this or by this, that energy is like you're sending vibes into the world that you're looking at things from a scarcity, from a place of lack. With manifestation, you need to be in an energy of abundance, okay? So put in the work, have your vision, but don't fret and worry about it. The fact that the publishers emailed me, my agent emailed me. Now, I'm not saying this is how your journey is going to go. Some people have signed book deals because they found the agent and they pitched themselves to it. They found the publishers and they pitched themselves. Some people have even gone on to publish their own books. Okay, so I'm not saying my way is the best way or the only way it can happen. I'm literally just sharing the story of what happened to me and I'm sharing the life lessons that I've gotten from this. I 100% believe in going out, going after your goals, going after your dreams, going after your opportunities. 100% believe that. But in my case, I see that when I am in alignment with my purpose, things come with a certain ease and grace. And I really advise everyone to get into alignment with their purpose and to know what that is, because there are going to be some things you didn't even see for yourself that just start coming into your life. Okay? So I start talking to this agent, seems like a great guy. I'm like, okay, yes, let's work together. I get signed to this talent management agency, and I now have a literary agent who's going to help me package my book pitch and proposal and help me manage the potential deal that I'm going to get. So we're now in January of 2021. And by this point, I am so exhausted. I'm so burnt out. December is never a relaxing time because there's so much to do. And so I'm like, you know what? I need a solo trip. No one wanted to travel. So I was like, you know what? I need to just go by myself, get out. So I'm like looking for direct flights from London to somewhere hot. Antigua comes up. Flights were super cheap at the time. And I just, you know, I realized, you know what? I'm going to Antigua. So my first ever solo trip is like 9 hours away from everyone. So yeah, I get on the flight, I go to Antigua. It was literally just meant to be a 4-day trip. Like, I'd never gone on a solo trip by myself. You know, it was quite an expensive resort. So I was like, I'm just going to go for 4 days, arrive on a Sunday, leave on Thursday, and I'll be rested. I'll come back. Life will be good. So I get to Antigua, get to the hotel. Somewhere between the plane and the resort, I catch COVID. So the rule in Antigua is that if you test positive for COVID, you must remain in the country for 14 days. This was before vaccines were a thing, by the way. This is January of 2021. So you must remain in the country for 14 days, even if you test negative in that time. So first of all, I didn't really have any symptoms, but I took the test because I was traveling loads, and England also required a test to come back into the country. So yeah, find out I have COVID. Thankfully, my room was like on the beach. So it was actually a beautiful place to quarantine because I had a balcony. I could see the sunrise and sunset. I could walk onto the beach in like my little cubicle area. You know, I had like it was like on a platform, so it was like very cool. So it was like one of the best places to even be in quarantine in, because, and then they brought my food to me. The food was amazing. It was like princess treatment. So here I am stuck in this country. Obviously my parents are freaking out. Who told you to go all the way to Antigua? Now you've caught COVID. Da, 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 da. But actually, it was a blessing in disguise, because when I say my soul was empty, like I was on my last legs. And that 4-day trip that turned into a 20 or 17 day trip in the end restored me in a way that I could not even describe. And that is where the idea for the book came to me. So I was super burnt out when I arrived, but being on my own in this beautiful resort, surrounded by nature, so many beautiful plants and trees and everything, I had time to pour back into myself. I prayed, I slept, I did yoga. I just, it was just exactly what I needed. And as I poured back into myself, my creativity began to spark again, and my dreams and my energy started coming back to me. And so one day I'm just kind of like sitting on the chair in my room, writing. And then before you know it, I'm just like writing ideas for this book and chapter one and chapter two and chapter three. And it's just coming and it's just flowing. And so I literally created the idea, like it was going to be Confident and Killing It, around fear, imposter syndrome, overcoming these things. You know, I had started writing chapter titles. This chapter is going to be about this. This chapter is going to be about that. And by the time I left Antigua, I had written like an outline of the chapters and a sample chapter. Like I literally wrote out what a potential chapter in the book would be like. So my life lesson there is, don't be afraid to get away and prioritize your needs. Don't be afraid to switch off from the world. Because if I hadn't gone to Antigua and I was like, oh, no one wants to travel with me, oh, I'll just get back into the swing of things. Like, no, who knows where my life would be right now, you know? So when you feel it in you, don't be afraid to go away from the world for a bit and just prioritize yourself and your needs. Because you would never be, and I use this analogy a lot, like imagine if you're driving on a long journey and you know your fuel is almost on empty, but you just go, no, I just need to keep driving and I just need to keep going. Like I just need to get to the destination. I don't have time to stop for fuel. Like your car will break down. And by the time you call AA, by the time they get you out of that mess, you're going to be delayed to your journey. You're going to spend money. You're going to spend time. You're going to spend energy. All of these things. So if you stop for 10 minutes, fill up your car, you are more likely to get to your destination on time and have a much smoother ride. So don't be afraid to say no to the world so you can say yes to yourself. And by saying yes to myself in that moment, I unlocked so much creativity and energy and rest and rejuvenation and was able to be myself again. So self-care is not selfish. Prioritizing your needs is not selfish. You are not here to be a slave to other people. You are here to give your energy and your light as a gift to the world. So that's the life lesson from that solo trip. Don't be afraid to switch off and do things on your own, because so much beauty can come from that. And that is life lesson number 9. So ending, I wrote the sample chapters. My agent then like packages the pitch together. And so in the pitch, you have things like, why do you deserve to, you know, write this book? Like, why are you the best person to write this book? You know, what's special about you? Why is now the right time for this book to come out? Why do people need to read this book? What background and expertise are you going to bring into this book or into this narrative to make it different? And then you write out all of that and then you send off the sample chapters. So I did the sample chapters and a bit of like why the book is important. And then my agent kind of like, you know, really like hyped me up. That's another thing. You've got to get an agent who is your cheerleader. Someone who really, really believes in you needs to support you with this process. So my agent packages everything up together and then starts sending it out to publishers. Okay. So next thing I know, he sends it out to Penguin, to HarperCollins, because those were the two people that first approached me. So he gave them a head start so they could read some sample chapters. And he sent it to them. Feedback came amazing. HarperCollins were like, can we set up a meeting ASAP? I get on the call with them. The whole team is there, from their marketing to the PR to the editors. And each one of them wrote like a mini letter as to how my two sample chapters had already impacted them in a positive way. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. And they loved me and, you know, they shared their ideas with me, how they're going to support me, how they're going to promote the book, all of these things. And then, yeah, that was that meeting. And so literally 2 days after that first meeting, I thought, you know, I mean, I showed up to that meeting like usual Tiwa energy. I was myself. I shared my ideas with them. I gave them my energy. And literally 2 days after that, they sent me a deal. They were like, we don't want her to speak to any other publishers, cancel any other upcoming meetings she has, and we want to give her this deal. And we don't only want to give her a deal for one book. This sample chapter that we've seen already is so good. And from what she's built, we want to secure 2 books with her. Do you know how wild that is? Like, I'm a first-time author. I don't have a blog. I don't write for any magazines. This is literally like, from the 2 sample chapters they've seen, they're giving me a 2-book deal. And they're saying, clear all her other meetings. Now, usually, when you put a book pitch together, you send it to multiple publishers, and then it goes into an auction. So they bid for who's gonna get your book. My book didn't even get to the bidding point. They were like, we don't even want it to get there. We don't even want any other publisher seeing this. We want to snap you up right now. So allow me to brag about myself a little bit. That is a testament to my gifts and my talents. Like, you know what? But also, thank God, because... And I think that is my life lesson number 10. I just have to shout out to God, because he goes above and beyond your wildest expectations. In Nigeria, we have this saying, everything na double double. And like, it's a praise and worship song. So in church, we would sing everything na double double, because like, everything with God is double. Like, you ask for one thing and he goes above. He gives you more than it. So it's just like, I didn't even ask for a book deal. And then I got that. And it's like, okay, I would even be happy with just a book deal for one book. And then it's like, I got a 2-book deal. You know, so it's just like, you've got to believe that good things can happen for you. And when they do, you've got to accept them and be grateful. And just be open to good things happening to you. Because why not? You deserve for good things to happen to you. So that is it. They gave me the deal. We negotiated it. Well, my agent negotiated it. And we landed at a very, very nice figure. And I signed it in July of 2021. And that is the story of how I signed a 2-book deal with HarperCollins HQ, which is a publishing house under HarperCollins. How crazy is that journey? So just to give you a few more like technical bits, because in case you're wondering like, okay, what happens next after you sign a book deal? We had a kickoff meeting in September. So then you get assigned an editor, and your editor is essentially like the other literary person who's going to help you create the formation of the book and also help you edit it. So we had a kickoff meeting where we looked at, okay, what chapters do we want to be in the book? What do we want it to be called? We kind of said, okay, when does this chapter make sense coming next from this chapter or that chapter? So we had like a content kickoff meeting. After we created a framework together, she was like, okay, off you go. And that was it. So some people, their editor writes parts of their book. She didn't write any parts of that book. All 66,000 words I wrote myself. So once I had the framework, it was then kind of like, okay, we agreed that I will submit like 2 chapters every couple of weeks. And I had my deadline to finish by January time was my deadline. So I kind of, submitted like 2 chapters every couple of weeks. And then she would give me feedback on the chapter. So she would say, okay, what did you mean when you said this? Can you expand on this? Can you expand on that? I think you should bring in this point to beef up your point a little bit more. So just kind of like giving you guidance, essentially. So after that, I started writing in October, and then I finished in March. And I actually found the writing process pretty easy, like, because I write like I'm talking to a friend. So I just sit and I just type, and I like, whatever is in me comes out. And also because I had spent so many years working on this content, it was like ingrained in me. So when it was time to write, it was pretty easy. What wasn't easy was finding the time to write, because I was also running my business full time, running my workshops, doing social media, all of these things. So the juggling, like, you will have to make sacrifices. If you want to write a book, get ready to make some sacrifices, because it is not possible to do all of those things at the same time. A lot of people ask me what I learned about myself whilst I was writing. And if you know me, you know my story. I've always had a very complicated relationship with creativity, because my creativity came to me much, much later on in my years. So my siblings are both very creative people. My brother's a music producer. He's literally like a tech genius. My sister is a fashion designer. She can paint, she can draw. So I was like, oh, what's Tiwa good at doing? Nothing. Couldn't draw, couldn't paint, couldn't make music, couldn't really play instruments that well. So I was just like, okay, I guess I'm just the boring one. And that was the story I told myself all throughout my childhood. Oh, I'm just like, you know, the one who does well in school. But I am creative. I'm creative with my words. I'm creative with my dressing. I'm creating with my dancing, with my, just like my mere existence is creativity. And writing a 66,000 word book definitely showed me that I am creative. There is no question about that. It also showed me the power of baby steps, because when I look at my book today, I'm just like, how did I even write this? But when you think about, okay, just need to write 2 chapters. And when you're done, then you write another 2. Then maybe you do 1. Then maybe you do 3. And that's a big lesson for how we achieve things in life. If you look at the whole mountain, how am I going to do this? It's going to be so overwhelming, and you're probably not going to know where to even start. So I really learned the power of baby steps and trusting the process and being patient, you know? And I didn't just sit and do it all at once. There were different seasons and baby bits here and small steps here and there. So no matter what it is in life, like when I have other things coming up that are things I've never done before, I'm not going to look at it as a whole. I'm going to break it down into small bite-sized steps. And that's a lesson we can all use and apply to other parts of our lives. And then finally, what I learned about myself was I was destined for this. Like, I don't know why I spent time stressing and comparing myself to other people. Like, the way the writing came to me with such an ease, and the messages I have gotten from people about my book, and like the way it's already changing their lives, like, there is nothing like this book out there. And I can sit in that and be at peace with it. Like, I was destined to do this. And when the self-doubt and the negativity comes, it's like, no, honey, like, don't let that get in the way. This is what you are born to do, and you can own it, and you can live in it, and you can breathe it. And it's so empowering to feel that way. So yeah, that's kind of like what I learned about myself. And then once the editing is done, you then have like the announcement. So the announcement was in January of 2022. You have the marketing, you have planning the launch, then you have recording the audiobook, thinking of your marketing plans and PR plans. Now, your publisher will help with some of these things, but really the responsibility is on you as the author to market and promote your book the best you can. So what I've learned from that is I wish I had more time between when I finished the book and when the book went live, because it takes so much energy to write the book. And then it also takes so much energy to market the book and to promote it. And so many authors have actually come and spoken to me like, we feel so exhausted that we can't even market the book properly because we're still kind of dealing with like, oh my gosh, I literally wrote a book. And especially if you're not like somebody who has always seen themselves as an author, like I am an entrepreneur before I am a writer. So to really like soak it all in and see yourself as that, it can be really overwhelming sometimes. So your publisher will support, but really the responsibility lies on you. So if you can, make sure you have more support, like either get like an assistant or somebody who can help you market and promote your book and come up with some plans and ways for you to do that. And then, yeah, I had the launch party in July of 2022 when the book came out, which was insane. If you were in the launch party, shout out to you. If you missed it, I am hopefully arranging a tour. So there will be more opportunities to meet me and get your book signed. And voila, here we are today. I took August off to do some deep reflection, and I'm going to talk about that in my next episode. So go and check that one out. But yeah, here we are today. The book is out. It's been well received. I'm grateful. I'm feeling re-energized. I'm ready to kind of just like keep going and see this book as not the end, but the beginning. My life is just beginning. And that is so exciting. That is just so, so exciting. So that's my story of how I signed a 2-book deal. And I'm just going to recap on the 10 life lessons that I learned. You guys know how much I love a recap. So yeah, recapping. Life lesson number one, you've got to believe in yourself. No one's going to believe in yourself for you. Believe in yourself and bet on yourself, because you do not know where that's going to take you. Number two, life is not going to go according to plan. It just isn't. So be ready for that. And don't set ridiculously high expectations for yourself. Leave room for ambiguity and mistakes and things not going according to plan. Okay? And be ready to bounce back. Don't give up on yourself when things don't go according to plan, and don't internalize it as something being wrong with you. Number three, check the story you are telling yourself and have a clear vision for your life, okay? If the story you are telling yourself is one of defeat, is one of victimization, stop that story and start focusing on what you actually want for your life. Lesson number four is to use what's in your hand. When people don't bet on you, when people don't give you opportunities, create your own opportunities. Number five, the best way to secure the bag and have an abundance of opportunities is to build a strong personal brand. People need to know who you are, what you stand for, what you do, what you believe in, and they need to be able to place you in the top of their minds when it comes to certain things. So you need to be able to position yourself as an expert in your field if you want to be able to get a book deal and get opportunities. Number six, when you sow seeds consistently, what's meant for you will never miss you. So don't worry about if or when the opportunity is going to come. Instead, focus on what you can do, what you have control of, which is showing up consistently. Number seven, when life calls you, are you going to pick up or are you going to ignore the call? You've got to answer the calling of your life. Don't let self-sabotage get in the way of that. Say yes to yourself. Say yes to your dreams. Say yes to your life and go for it, even though you don't have it all figured out. When I said yes to writing a book, I didn't know what the book was going to be about. I didn't even know if I could write 66,000 words. The most I had ever written was 10,000 words for my university dissertation. So knowledge and capability are not the same thing. Just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean you aren't capable of doing that thing. You've got to learn to believe in your capability. You can always learn and level up. Number eight, prioritize getting into alignment with your life. Okay? Prioritize living in purpose and being aware of what that is and being intentional about doing it, because then things will just come to you. Then your manifestation energy will be on such a high frequency, things will just come to you with an ease and a grace. Number nine, Don't be afraid to say no to others so you can say yes to yourself. Don't be afraid to walk away from the world to prioritize yourself and your needs, because so much beauty and energy and gifts and strengths and creativity can come from that alone time. And the ideas you need to make your dreams a reality can come from that alone time. And finally, number 10, practice gratitude. And expect good things to happen to you. If you are somebody who believes in faith, believe that God is going to go above and beyond the promises he has made. Whatever dream you think you have of your life, God is going to do even more than what you expect. Okay? And if you don't believe in God, if you're not a person of faith, that's okay. Believe that good things can happen to you. Believe that whatever you dream, bigger and better things can also come to you, and you are worthy and deserving of that. Okay, so that is it. I hope my journey, as always, has been able to impact and inspire in a beautiful way. Thank you all so much for the love and support to every single person that has bought my book, who has shared it, who has messaged me. I am so grateful to every single one of you. You guys have uplifted me in times when I've been down. You've kept me going. I'm so glad we can do this community together. And if you're listening to this and you're new here, welcome. This podcast, this media empire, Confident and Killing It, is literally life-changing. And I'm very excited for you on your confidence journey. And if you are an aspiring author, or you're in the process of getting your book published, and you've got any questions, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram at Tiwalola or at Confident and Killing It, and I would be happy to talk to you and share whatever tips and advice that I have. I'm thinking about it, Killing It as an author series. Okay, how cool would that be? So if you're keen on hearing that, let me know, and I'll see if something I can organize. But thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad to be back on the mic talking to you all. And until next time, stay confident and killing it.